and if the reader may permit the indulgence of scene setting, then let the following lines demarcate mise-en-scène for what is to follow. For never has such a scenario been seen in all of history, and nor shall it be hence. Imagine, if you dare, a nameless plain in the anonymous expanse of the desert, at the center of which stands a circular wooden amphitheater, bounded with thick pewter straps. Inside sit rings of short-backed wooden seating, pressing in upon each other, radiating from the ground level upwards in tight tiers, rising into the upper heights of the gaping cylinder. The seats themselves, set into the cramped bandstands, are angled such that the inevitable spectator may be afforded a clear line of sight onto the dusty arena below, upon which will stand, around the time of the sun's meridian, a gaunt yet robust figure, simmering in the noon heat, his clothing tattered and crisping, his left hand clasping the rim of a stark and stately barrel of ashwood and thick pewter bands, and held aloft in his right, partially blocking out the sun's eager glare, a glittering, overinflated rubber ball, about the size of a puffed-out adult blowfish, shorn of features, gills, and scales. A quickening silence descends over the pews as a hushed anticipation sweeps through the crowd, until what seems like aeons later, the ball is finally brought violently down into the barrel with a percussive and perfunctory jubilance splooshed, displacing and spraying the yak milk therein. A sudden cheer erupts, garnished with whoops, whistles, and yells, and underwritten by the angry fizz of multitudinous applause, and then a perfectly synchronized, yet utterly spontaneous, "Yee-haw!" rings out from the assembled mass. Flicks his arm aloft once more, and the glittering ball again blots out the sun. The crowd, suddenly succumbing to a hush even deadlier than the previous, waiting again in unbearable anticipation for the inevitable repeat action. And when the ball is plunged again into the milk-filled barrel, displacing another crown of muddy yak lactation, the crowd erupts once more in a loud rapture of jubilation, seemingly twice as strong as the previous. The ranchero pauses for a while before raising his arm skyward once more, and the radiant sphere eclipses the sun again. The crowd falls silent, tension thicker and heavier than before, each breath held in unbearable suspense of the inevitable. And when the ball smashes again into the barrel, sending up another cascade of yak milk, the crowd explodes, their cheers soaring higher, louder, more frenzied than ever. Pause. Once again, the herdsman sweeps his arm upwards, the gleaming ball soaring to obscure the sun. A hush falls over the crowd, heavier and more ominous than before, their collective breath caught between dread and anticipation as the ball plunges anew into the milky barrow, and a splash erupts and the crowd roars to life, their cries of elation swelling with doubled force. The ranchero's arm arcs high once more, hurling the glittering orb to extinguish the sun's light once again. A suffocating silence now engulfs the onlookers, attention sharper than the last, torn between unbearable anxiety and eager expectation. When the ball dives once more into the now almost half-full barrel of yak, sending milky waves outward, the crowd explodes with jubilation, their cheers amplified and their frenzied joy redoubled. With a flick of his wrist, the herdsman sends the shining ball soaring, blotting out the sun once more. The crowd, struck silent, waits with bated breath, the stillness deeper and more foreboding than ever, perched on the edge of anxiety and excitement. And when the ball plunges into the barrel, scattering yet another muddy crown of milk, the crowd erupts, their cheers even more thunderous, echoing with renewed intensity and not abating.
It hits hard when we're offered solace in convoluted phrases like, it will pass, or it'll be okay in the end. Especially when fear colors the ending in catastrophe, drives the angst, assuming events are beyond our control. That a grand mushroom cloud climax to total war merely pockmarks endless starvation. Disease looms too, gleefully straddling other unimaginable horrors, playfully tussling for the joy of cutting us down ASAP. Turning off the television, the difficulty in forcing arms into your puffer jacket compounded by still clutching phone tightly in the left, breakfast spoon in the right. Opening, then locking the front door, finding the spoon lengthways in your mouth, taking three steps down to the path, still brimming with tension, mind racing with all the conflicts and collapse swirling on this sphere, separated only by little bitty distances in space and time. All now, but somewhere over the horizon, as the gate creaks, clicking shut, turning, stumbling, wrong-footed, head crashing to the curb, heat, muffled cries, footsteps, two fingers pressed to your neck, chest compressions, sirens, somewhere over there, the way back blocked. Relax.